Welcome to Doctor's Orders with your host, Dr. Baker. Now let's join today's program.
Hello, everybody. Happy sunny worldwide Wednesday. I am Dr. Baker, the owner of the only business hospital in the world servicing 14 countries. And as you know, I only remind you of that because I want you to know that all I care about is making sure that businesses are healthy, that they're growing, expanding, and essentially achieving the goals that they need to do. And I do that through a way of health metrics, meaning that my job is to make sure that you're healthier every single day. If you've been following the show at any level, you know that every day is a different topic. And today is Worldwide Wednesday, so I'm really excited about today's guest as we talk about international affairs. If you want to join today's conversation, you can do so by calling in at 859-291-2255. Once again, that's 859-291-2255. If you want to send us a message, you can do so at info@drbaker.us. And once again, that number is info@drbaker.us. A lot of times when we're talking over the air and we're speaking to you listeners, we are really covering different aspects and elements that we believe will be beneficial in your work or help you receive a different paradigm on how you see the world, how you can participate with trends, and how you can grow your business in ways that maybe you aren't currently thinking about, or make your business healthier in ways that you haven't. When we talk on Worldwide Wednesdays, we're really looking at a global picture of business and how that global picture actually makes us better. How we can take something from a global perspective and say, how can I use that for my benefit locally, regionally, nationally, and dare I say internationally. So if you're a business owner out there, whether you're just getting started, whether you've been in existence for years, you may want to always consider, what's my climate around my industry? What changes have taken place? What new elements have been brought to my space? All of those realities actually touch your business, whether it's directly or indirectly, and you can leverage all of them for the sake of the good in order to make your business healthier or to grow it. I'm really excited to bring in today's guest. It is Mr. Reynon Delgado. He is an expert in international business, and he focuses on the success of multinational companies. He also assists the business hospital as he operates our Latino wing for all things in that culture. And so he's been instrumental to our growth internationally as well. And so without further ado, I bring in Mr. Reynon Delgado. Reynon, how are you today, sir?
All right, Dr. Baker. As always, happy of being part of your initiatives, and this one that I appreciate very much, of bringing knowledge and some even question marks to the entrepreneurial community.
Thanks. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so just to remind the audience, maybe we've got some new listeners here, or just to be a refresher, walk our listeners through a little bit of your experiences and your story, you know, how many years you've been doing this type of work and what your specialties are.
Well, nowadays, 25 years of professional experience, all of them dedicated mainly to the private companies, some way or another helping them to develop business internationally, having the possibility of living in six different countries in the Americas, most of them in Latin American markets, and based in the U.S., in North Carolina, around 6 years ago, and trying to still do the same, help companies and bringing that knowledge, that experience to the American companies, let them know what Latin America might mean for their future, for their business development opportunities, and through that way facilitate the process for both sides, which is always what we are all looking for, mutual benefit.
Well, you know, I want to talk about those experiences a little bit because I think that unlike other business owners, your experiences are extremely unique because you're bringing such a diverse perspective toward business. Now, you say that you've lived in six different countries. Is that right?
That's totally right. Five of those were in Latin America.
And so talk to us a little bit about some of the, and I want to take it from two different directions. I want to talk about first the similarities from country to country, and then highlight some of the differences that you've noticed from country to country, obviously in regards to business, but how were all of these countries the same based on your experiences?
That's a very interesting question, Doc, because anyone may think that the proximity of those countries and the common language that they almost all of them speak makes them very, very alike one of each other. But the reality is that they are very diverse, and that's the topic that I always bring to my conversations when I get to the point of doing business in Latin America. That's the first perspective that I want the people to understand, that there are 33 different countries, which a diversity of culture, even the language. I said that the language is the same. We speak Spanish in most of those countries. There is one particular country that speaks Portuguese, and in the Caribbean, multiple islands speak English and French. But talking about the Spanish-spoken countries, even the language is different. The way that things are being called in those countries is different. The way that each country, they name the fruits or multiple things is different. So you really have to first go there, learn, understand, get to know the drivers that each community has in order to succeed. So a lot of diversity, so many learnings, so many things to enjoy, different histories that they have been through the time, so many things that impact the reality, and so many reasons that feed the way that they actually behave and the way that they actually consume and in general live their life.
You know, when you talk about those differences, I find that to be very obvious, and I'm going to explain to you why I think it's obvious where others may not. But, you know, I've traveled, I've been, you know, in different places that look very different, sound very different. And when you go somewhere else and you question, you know, someone else's opinion of the United States, they think the U.S. is one thing. But I submit to people all the time, if you were to go to Mississippi, you're going to get a very different reality in Mississippi than you will in Los Angeles, which is significantly different than Boston, which is different than North Dakota. So because our states differ as much as they do, it would only be obvious that countries would do the same. However, even with those differences, I find a lot of things to be similar. And then, you know, let me know what you think about this. But when it comes to the countries that you've lived in and the businesses that you've worked for and worked with, you know, they all need help with infrastructure. They all need help with supply chain. They all need help with managing their people. Is that right? Or do you see these similarities that are similar regardless of what country you're in? Has that been your experience?
That's also true, and I totally coincide with that perspective. Just to give you an example regarding the food, I love barbecue in the U.S. It's the very first time I came here for business or for tourism. But I learned that barbecue is not the same in all the states that you visit. But as long as you at least get to learn the basic concept of that meal, the basic concept of the history behind that, the multiple ways to prepare that, you have a general approach that you can use in a common way to understand and to enjoy the better barbecue. So that same situation happens in Latin America. We have multiple things that are common for all the countries in our history, the way that we were colonized, the trajectory that we have from the native communities, etc., the trading that we develop inside of that big region make us have a lot of common points that in terms of business facilitate the process of being exploited. So yeah, totally agree with that and a lot of things. And nowadays, and I would like to talk, I know that we're going to have time, some of the things that I would like to discuss today, we have the opportunity, is how the region behaves in times of crisis, for example, which is quite a common pattern, and quite differently to the trends that you normally visualize in the U.S. or in all other developed markets. So yes, there are some common topics that are interesting to know, learn, and understand.
Well, you know, let's look at that a little bit. You know, we talk about crisis, and, you know, United States, either we have manufactured crisis in our mind, believing that we think something has happened. In other cases, it legitimately did happen. And either way, we have to react and respond to it, and we have to make sure that our business is equipped to handle whatever stimulus that comes from that. what is your perspective on handling crisis, and what's the take that you want to provide today for our business owners?
Well, I can tell you, Doug, that my perspective is completely different, I believe, in the U.S. way of seeing crisis. And unfortunately, the reason is that in my background, what has been made in Latin America, comes from a region that normally has lived in a crisis forever, because has been a region with multiple countries that have been working hard to improve their situation day after day since many years ago. Fortunately, and I can tell the difference now, is huge if you compare the region or any of those countries with the situation they had 20, 10 years ago. That's a positive change. And perhaps, in my perspective, one of the reasons for that improvement is the attitude. So yes, we have faced multiple international crises, what we are seeing right now in terms of inflation and all those topics that are affecting the U.S. are not exclusive of the U.S. market. They are not generated inside. There are multiple external factors that are generating those situations. So Latin America is living that. In 2008, we faced that situation that was very hard for many people here in Latin America, but in a different perspective, with a different attitude. And let me tell you an anecdote situation. In that time, I was the general manager for Latin American region of a multinational company based in Germany, Henkel. And I used to go, before that time, I used to go to those international meetings and the top management, the CEO of the company and all his colleagues in Germany, they remember me as the Latin American guy. So in the morning when I was arriving to the meeting, they said, "Hey, good morning, Latin America." So I used to say good morning, but after that question, they get to learn my name. Yeah, it's hilarious, but the way was interesting because all the world was in crisis, and at that point, I was perhaps the only one region that was growing positively when all others were decreasing some way or another. And that's not the exception. Let me tell you just a couple of examples, current examples, and 2021 was a complicated year. After the beginning of the recovering after COVID crisis, Latin America saw very interesting numbers in terms of GDP growing. Just Chile grew 12%, Peru grew 12.5%. And 2022, where multiple countries are changing their expectations of growing to negative, so we still have Mexico with an expectation of 3.0 positive growing, Colombia 3.7%, and so on. So yeah, part of the situation in there is that reality is faced with some experience, I may say, in tackling difficulties every single day of their lives, knowing that independently of the environment, of the external situation, you have to do your best, and you have to be better day after day in order to face whatever comes, rather than complaining or even crying about that situation that you cannot handle. So I believe that makes a huge difference in the outcome.
Well, I think one thing that you're mentioning is very important for any entrepreneur to hear is that entrepreneurs face crisis regularly from the onset when they create businesses. And in small businesses, and when I'm saying small, I'm actually talking about larger than a mom and pop, larger than a micro or boutique. But if you've been established for any amount of time, meaning past 5 years, 10 years, maybe you're a family business or a legacy business, well, you face crisis as you continue to ward off threats in the industry that want to eat up more of your market share. You face crisis when there's a change in the industry that might have a direct effect on your business. And you face crisis when you're looking to scale your business. And so what I'm hearing you say, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we're looking at a mentality and a mentality of understanding crisis and then putting crisis in the appropriate space. So even as you look at a company or you look at entities in other countries, they may come from a culture that kind of already speaks to crisis management or understanding that things might be difficult. And so that might even speak to how do you go into creating a business? How do you deal with and react to patience? How do you see perseverance? How do you ask for resource and help? And I guess what I'm hearing you say in this instance as well is that these companies in these Latin countries are now growing through crisis to where now they're becoming more desirable even internationally because of their growth and their mindset position. Is that correct?
Absolutely, that's right. And I am sure that a lot of people in the audience have the opportunity to get to know Latin immigrants, and they have, well, we have perhaps a general pattern that it's very common in the Latin community, is the willingness to do whatever it takes to survive in so many times. So that's the reason that you see many people well-educated that for X, Y, Z reason, unfortunately, in the past, in the end of the 90s, so many people had to immigrate from Latin America to the U.S., because of safety reasons, multiple situations that were being complicated in their countries, I believe it still happens. But more in that time, so they were educated, they were top executives in their countries, and they came here and right away they understood that they had to work in any alternative that was available for them. So they were willing to work in the agricultural side or doing basic non-qualified jobs. Perhaps not what they desired to do, but they knew immediately that they had to use the flexibility that was in their DNA to provide to their families. And that's something that I believe that the Latin American entrepreneurial community learned from many years ago. So the adaptability, the flexibility is something that has been helping them through the years. And nowadays, the Latin America that we can find is completely different to that Latin America that we used to hear in the past, full of bad news, full of complications, problems, situations. Still a lot of work to be done, no doubt about it. But when people have the opportunity, and you have had of traveling to Latin America because of business, you are going to find very well-developed cities, a lot of infrastructure, that facilitate the process of logistics or doing business in general, a huge attractive market. So to give you a number, my estimations for this year should be around 1 billion of exports, FOB prices from U.S. to Latin America, which in some perspective should be above 12% of the total global exports of the U.S. So it's really interesting. It's really something, and that has been a positive trend since many years. And yes, I agree with you. Has been the attitude, the key success factor for that outcome.
Well, when you mention a number, you know, that you just did regarding the exports and that contribution on a global scale, not to mention the amount of Hispanic Americans that exist, or even the desire to come to this country. You have a scenario where if you're a business owner, there are emerging markets that you could participate in. You talked about just the developed countries, sophistication of some of these countries. Are there any examples of just, you know, the mindset of how maybe people in the United States do not really see Latin America as a target for their businesses, whether they have a product or a service, but maybe they should, based on a monopoly situation where they're the only person that can offer it, or maybe there's an ease to market where there's not a lot of barriers to entry. They can just simply offer their products in a way that allows them to reach a better target audience, so on and so forth. Can you speak to any of those elements or those realities?
Yes, of course, and multiple elements that perhaps nowadays are a myth. Like as a consequence of those situations that I was mentioning from the past, that for sure have improved in most of those countries in Latin America, those situations that make the people in the U.S. think that Latin America is a synonym of insecurity, of not fair frames of law in terms of doing business in there, so many risks that you can lose your investments down there, their language barriers. Multiple things that perhaps exist in the minds of the American people that have been doing business that nowadays are, of course, part of the game, something that you have to learn how to manage, but by far different from that perspective. You nowadays can find a more educated community in terms of doing business, people bilingual, with the capacity of communicate, doing business with the world, because that's the other topic that Latin America learned. And one of the reasons of that growing that I was telling you is that journey that Latin America started to be an international region. And that led the region to sign multiple bilateral free trade agreements. And that's an important topic because the U.S. particularly has multiple free trade agreements with multiple countries and regions within Latin America that facilitates a lot the process of doing business without additional cost, making those products very competitive.
Well, you know, I want to stop there for a moment. I want to stop there. I don't want the listeners to miss that. Is that when the United States of America has free trade agreements, what that really says is that we're fostering or encouraging you to do business outside of the country. We're providing a conduit in a very intentional way for you to participate in another land. That is something that has to be paid attention to, because somewhere along the way, our country is designed a way for entrepreneurs, small businesses to participate in other places. Is this something that you've had to have dialogue on before, or does this just simply get missed and ignored?
That's a key topic, and thank you for highlighting that, because it's absolutely relevant. I told you about this. It's impossible to do this amount of business that the U.S. is right now doing with Latin America, and vice versa. The equation, the balance is a little bit positive for the U.S., but the number of exports that Latin America sends to the U.S. is quite similar. 950-something million U.S. dollars is a rough number for those trading. So I'm talking about almost $2 billion of exchange in services and products. So it's a marvelous market, something amazing that in many ways depends on those free trade agreements that facilitate the process and basically allows the U.S. products to arrive to those markets with no duty, like locals, basically like that, and compete in a fair game with local producers, giving the opportunity to those that have the quality and that have the good benefits, customer service, etc., have good, serious, real opportunities. With something in favor that I can tell you as well as a Latin person that knows very well the Latin American culture regarding the USA products and the quality, the perception of the goods produced in the U.S. is very positive, and the people believe in those imports, believe in that quality, and sometimes can even be able to pay a little bit extra for that quality and that perspective that the U.S. can offer. So the products are very welcome, and the region is very open for doing business, for tourism. It's a very welcoming people, very warm experience. So really a lot of positive things to take into account at the time of trying to do business in Latin America.
Well, you said something I think is very interesting, which is the prestige or the perspective that quality comes out of the United States. And when I think about consumerism here in the U.S., you have a scenario where products and services are separated by quality or by name recognition or by overall brand affinity. So you can have two T-shirts, and if one T-shirt says Versace and one says Hanes, that T-shirt is going to sell for $200 on Versace, and it'll sell for $7 if it says Hanes. Doesn't mean that the shirt is actually better, but the perceived value of that shirt changes the meaning for the buyer. And based on what you just outlined, is that you could have a product or you could have a service that you could offer in those countries, and those countries will listen, have an open mind, or even prefer what it is that you may have because it's coming from this region. Is that accurate based on what you said?
That's totally right. And Latin America is a region that has not been hidden for the world. And you know that China, the country in the race to develop their market internationally, they have been targeting Latin America since quite years. But that's a different perspective. People in Latin America, I don't know if right or wrong, but they believe that that those type of products does not have the quality that they identify as the best. That's the difference if you compare those type of products with the American product. So it's a huge opportunity. It even brings some kind of status for those consumers that are used to this type of product. And I'm not talking about only clothing and all that stuff. That's another important topic though, to bring to our audience here, is the proximity. So let's start talking that the almost all of the region is in the same hour system with the U.S. So communication in terms of doing business is very practical, very easy. You don't have to wake up in the middle of the night in order to have a business conversation with your counterpart or your distributor in the region. So that's something very positive. Second, you are quite close. If we talk about the second largest market within Latin America, which is Mexico, with more than 100 million people living in there. So you can drive from the U.S. to Mexico. So that means that you can send it by truck. You don't even have to navigate through the sea to get to those markets. There are multiple alternatives of international bridges to access that market. There is a free trade agreement between the U.S. and Mexico and Canada that is active. So that's one of those countries that you can access with no inconvenience. And it's kind of the backyard in some way, being respectful with the way I am defining that. But it's very easy to do business. You have, I have no idea, but I can guess that more than 20, I can even imagine more than that, direct flights from Mexico to the U.S. every single day. So if you need to visit a client, you even have the possibility to go there in the morning, come back in the evening, and spend the night in your arms. So that's not complicated. And if we go further than that, the situation doesn't change much. In terms of logistics, there is a lot of exchange of products, of goods, that generate multiple alternatives of shipping products to the region. There are multiple ways to connect in there. I believe that with any country in Latin America, there is no complication to get there within the same day without hassle.
Well, you know, you talked about an aspect that I run into, as we have our Filipino hospital run by Ben Phillips over in Manila. And we are 12 hours different. So it is, you know, if it's 2:30 here Eastern time in the United States, it's 2:30 a.m. over there in Manila. And we find issues with communication. There are some pros that when I'm asleep, they're awake and vice versa. So we essentially have a 24-hour business. But when it comes to meetings and document sharing and information passing, there is a lag in time. And so if I want to hear something, I'm going to have to wait and vice versa. When you talk about just that not being a barrier in some of these countries, it is a massive, massive benefit, considering that if you need to speak with a decision maker, or if something needs to be changed or a pivot needs to take place, you can do that relatively quickly. When you talk about logistics, I think not having to fly things sometimes, the benefit, I know that, you know, we have a retail company, and in that retail company, we deal with shipping, we deal with logistics, and we have literal warehousing near New Mexico. And because we have warehousing there, if we needed to get something into Mexico in a timely fashion, we could. But I don't think that that is something that many business owners think about right off the bat. I think that they believe that there's going to be additional complications, whether it's with customs, whether it's the language barrier, maybe it's cultural differences, or maybe it's just not in their mind at all. And I would advise against that. I know one thing that I found is that my work primarily is intellectually based. So I'm having discussion, conversation, I'm offering recommendations, I'm writing prescriptions. And so it would seem as if I don't have a place in some of these areas, but I found that actually not only that I have intellectual property to offer, that that's received very well, but they also buy products and use services that come out of the U.S. They also supply the U.S. with products and services. So it should only be obvious that we would look at you know, going south of our border and saying, how can we participate with some of this, especially if they're holding us in high regard? You know, with your experiences over time, you know, what do you believe has led to some of the breakdown and just not paying attention to how much we can leverage business in those regions?
Well, could be multiple reasons. The most important, I believe, is the lack of knowledge, perhaps some kind of fear about the region for those stories that were coming in the past, narco-traffic, illegal immigration. When you turn on the news, unfortunately, those topics that we are bringing here to our audience about the growing, the development that the countries are having is something that is not common, unfortunately. But rather than that, you listen about those countries that have a guerrilla situation, you listen about narco-traffic, you listen about the cartels, etc. But perhaps that's the main reason, and not having the opportunity to get to learn about the multiple things that make us closer than any other markets or communities. We just mentioned that our system is the practicality of the commuting and exchange due to the proximity and logistics. But there are multiple more. We share the same alphabet. And that's amazing. I've had the opportunity of doing business with Asia in the past, and I have been visiting China for business meetings, and you have no idea how complicated is that particular situation, because if you have to catch a train, you have to struggle to identify the characters in your ticket to compare with those that are in the screen of the boarding area mm-hmm. of the train station, because it's completely different. And you're trying to find a house or something to compare. We have the same alphabet. In some way, we eat the same food. So when you travel there, you have no difficulties to adapt yourself. You know that it's a different country, but it's not a different way of life. So we keep the same patterns of behavior in Latin America. We are very influenced for American television. We watch the same movies, etc. So that makes us very close in so many ways that can be used in a positive side.
You know, I want to talk about that. We have to pause for one moment for a station identification. And today's Worldwide Wednesday is brought to you all by Bazemore Beard Oil. That's Bazemore, Bazemore Beard Oil. For a better, larger, more quality beard, you want to go to Bazemore Products to pick up Bazemore Beard Oil in order to train your beard, grow your beard, make it look better, have a better smelling beard. And there's three fragrances. You have Nova, Waves, and Flight. You can find all three individually or on a sample pack at BazemoreProducts.com. And today, Worldwide Wednesday, we have our special guest, Renan Delgado, international business expert specializing with multinational companies, also serves as the Latino wing for the Business Hospital. If you want to join the conversation today or you have questions, you can call in at 859-291-2255. Once again, that's 859-291-2255. If you want to send in a note or an email or a response, you can do so at info@drbaker.us. Once again, that's info@drbaker.us. And if you're just now joining us, you know, we're talking with Renan Delgado about understanding different elements of international business. Are we considering the opportunities in international business? Are we taking advantage and leveraging our relationships with other countries and recognizing what's beneficial as opposed to what isn't? Renan, you had just made a statement before we took our station identification, is how many companies in Latin America are influenced by culture in the United States. And so from learning the language to wearing the clothes to even eating the foods, all of these things bode well for restaurant owners, for apparel makers, distributors of all of those types. What does that look like for even the citizens and individuals that may have come from a Latin country and have transitioned over to the U.S. and now become citizens? Isn't there a market here for business owners to say, I can diversify my products and my portfolio some in order to offer to these new Americans that, really saturate a lot of our areas. I know Los Angeles has a high population of Latino Americans. Miami's another. Talk to us a little bit about that and how business owners can take advantage, you know, of that culture.
That's an amazing point, Doug. Thank you for bringing that in here. Because getting to learn, getting to know about the Latin American culture and the Latin American consumer is not necessarily useful for an international endeavor or an export endeavor. That exchange of culture, of products, of knowledge, if you can say technology, etc., that we have between these two regions, between North America and Latin America, have generated that first, as I mentioned, that influence that the American culture has grown in Latin America, but vice versa, for many years, mainly due to the immigration that you mentioned, has generated a growing, steady growing population within the U.S. And I don't know if you're aware of that, but right now around 20% of the U.S. population is Latino or Hispanic population. So that's a very representative number. I am telling you that in terms of concrete numbers, we are about 52 million people from background, Latino background, not all of them immigrants, because nowadays I believe that more than half of that population is U.S.-born population, but with the Latino roots. So it's a huge market in terms of potential, in terms of consume that you have right here, and you don't have to export, you don't have to do anything special to do that. But it's a target market. It's not a niche anymore. It's a big chunk of market that are consuming, that have more money, I may say, because the economical situation of the Hispanic community in the U.S. has improved. Let me give you another piece of information. 20% of that population in the U.S., at least 20% has a bachelor's degree. So that's people that have some decent average of income in their homes. So that means more capacity for expense, and that makes them more attractive. You know, that's a reality that nowadays U.S. have for those multiple reasons.
Well, you know, not ignoring a target audience is really the crux of a business owner, meaning that there's often times that you might see your business a certain way, but you have, you know, individuals, consumers, that would benefit from the product or service that you provide. And many times business owners, because, you know, you see yourself, you see your business, but you need someone to help you focus on where your products and services could be best be served. And sometimes you could miss a group. I know that, let's say I take myself as an example, I'm a champion in the small business sector, but small business does, once again, for reference, 50 million and under, 500 employees or less. That does not preclude me from working with large corporations. I may not go and search for large corporations to provide my services to, but that does not mean that I'm not equipped to assist them and that I have not assisted them. It just means that they're not my primary target audience, but they might be my secondary audience. I know that I do work in 14 countries, but international business is not our primary offering. It's our tertiary offering. The point of me saying that is that these are different sectors of business that fall within my wheelhouse, but I'm not ignoring their existence. What I'm arguing is that many business owners ignore individuals or entities in their target audience simply because it might be I'm not familiar with a certain group or I'm not familiar with another country, and so therefore they deem it to either be complicated or maybe even not worth the time. Have you had situations where someone may have been skeptical of doing work overseas or within a certain culture only for them to engage and then they were able to find success there? Has that ever happened to you in your 25 years?
Yes, it has. It has. And that's one of the topics that I always recommend to people, to get advice from the experts. And that's perhaps one of the wonderful things that you, Dr. Baker, and all your team are doing, helping these businesses in here, because I do not recommend that. I don't recommend to start those endeavors alone. You need to get to learn about the region. You get to learn about the culture. There are things that really define the failure or the success of those businesses in there. So there are unfortunately not positive stories with negative outcomes because pretending doing business in another region the same way that you do locally. So not adapting perhaps the product, not adapting perhaps the way or the go-to-market approach to you that you perform to your clients, I believe it's a key mistake that might generate a very negative consequences. And I have personally the opportunity of working with multinationals, to bring an example, and they do not sell exactly the same product that they sell in Europe or in the U.S., in the Latin American market, because of multiple reasons, even characteristics, natural characteristics. I worked for 11 years with these multinationals in the hair care division, and the characteristics of the hair of multiple Latino countries, the DNA structure of their hair is different than the European one, so they had to adjust. The way of doing business is by far different. Latin American people is closer, is more emotional in so many ways. So maybe a distributor in Latin America might find very cold an American entrepreneur if they are just trying to do business the way that they do in the U.S. In Latin America, we say hello, we give hugs, we kiss women and men, etc. So that's a different way, and it's not necessary to exaggerate in that way. Nothing crazy to manage, but that simple example, the warm Latin American way, is a different approach that makes things easier and makes people feel more comfortable about doing business. And that's, again, something that is not particular of the export business. I told you that it's a reality right now here in the U.S. with a huge population, with a lot of purchasing power, that, just to summarize, if we put together all the Hispanic population within the U.S., we put them all together and we make a country with them, that would be the seventh largest economy in the world, bigger than India.
Wow, okay. No, I did not. That's remarkable. And when you look at that, that's certainly more than just opportunity. A lot of times, business owners speak of opportunity as if it's potential, but if there's a plan and you have the appropriate resources, then it's more than opportunity. That's something that you can convert and leverage to build your business out of. So what about someone that may question, governmental policy? Maybe there's a company here that, they do a lot of governmental contracts, or they need to bid and go through the request for proposal processing here. What does that look like if they built their business in that way here and they're looking to build more of their business internationally there? Is the political scene closer to us than what we think? Is it significantly different? Give us a sense.
Well, with a few exceptions that unfortunately we still have in Latin America, we have cases like Venezuela that unfortunately went back in the way after having a huge, very attractive economy and attractive market for those unfortunate issues with the government. Most of the Latin American governments are, I may say, very close to the Latin American frame of law. And I was telling you earlier about those free trade agreements. Part of the discussion and the negotiations that the country had before signing those agreements was related to the legal frame, the compatibility of those legal frames, the certainty that the country should provide to the companies when doing business in their regions. So I can say for a fact that it's very safe doing business in that way. There's respect of the law in those particularities. Even doing business with the government is a huge, big opportunity. I have witnessed in my experience multiple scenarios. I was involved in oil and gas business in Mexico, and the country absolutely needed that expertise of those multinational companies from Europe, from USA, bringing software, bringing expertise, etc., that is value added for sure, and even in terms of money generation that is needed for those countries. So yes, that that's an important topic, and I am completely sure that it's not a source of concern for people doing business in the region.
And so I guess, in other words, we're also stating that it's welcome to do business there. The amount of bureaucracy or red tape or rejection, I know that it exists. It exists everywhere. But, you know, is Latin America open for business? Or is it more about companies here forcing their way into or establishing the type of relationships that maybe they go into an inner circle? Or is it more open arms saying no? You know, and this is all based on your experiences. I'm not using you as the one, you know, all be all guide to Latin America, but is it an open structure to where businesses that want to put manufacturing companies there, that may want to do construction, that may have a product they want to sell, that behavior is welcome?
Well, I am totally sure that it's an open market, and it's a very welcoming market, but very welcoming community for international visitors in all fashions, not only doing business for tourism. It's great experience or multiple alternatives of experiences that the region is offering. Of course, there are some political initiatives or some local initiatives that try to promote the consumption of local products. But unfortunately for the region, those countries, most of them, with a few exceptions, perhaps, I don't know, if Brazil and Mexico that are the biggest, almost all other countries are necessarily related with other countries because they are not sufficient in terms of all that they need. They do not produce inside all that they need. And if you take a look to the region and when you zoom in the exports of the region, they are still very dependent on the primary sector. So it's a lot of agriculture, a lot of non-processed goods. So it's still way to go in terms of technology development. That's something that they need to import with a positive perspective for those that find a way of do that business, because the value added and the cost of the value generation of those opportunities is far bigger than the primary sector.
Well, and in that case, is that now it's the same research that you would do here. For an example, in the Midwest, there's a lot of manufacturing that goes on, whereas in the West Coast, there's a lot of technology and innovation. In other areas, such as Nebraska, Wisconsin, well, in those areas, in the middle part of the country, you have a lot of farmland. So you have to recognize where you are, what product and service you offer, and how you integrate best into a certain region. And doing business south of the border is no different from that instance. What are some of the pitfalls that you've seen with businesses that have either attempted to do business overseas or not just do business but set up locations in some of these other areas as second and third locations? What have you seen that's been pitfalls over your time?
Well, multiple approaches. You can find the region that something that is not waiting for being colonized. Since many years, American companies have been doing business in Latin America. So you can find there all the very well-known hotel chains participating in there. Walmart is in multiple of those countries, the most relevant supermarket within the region and within the country. So I can say that it's something already proved. It's already tested. So that's not a lab that you are going to experiment doing business in Latin America. So yes, there are multiple ways, depending on the product that you are offering. In some ways, you will need to have a branch in the region, some kind of office, logistic operation in there. So you have ways to do it directly. Or nowadays, there is a lot of development as well. You can subcontract that, and there are multiple companies that facilitate those processes, multiple ways of representations, distributions, logistics, operations that you can subcontract or you can hire. And nowadays, with these technologies that we are enjoying in terms of doing business, facilitate a lot of processes because it makes easier to manage even business from here. Actually, and you know that you mentioned earlier about Florida, one of the reasons of the Latino population in Florida is the proximity. And that proximity is good in two ways, not only for immigration, it's very practical for business administration. So operating a business in Latin America from Florida is quite easy because it's a region, the International Airport of Miami has daily flights to almost all countries in Latin America. So if you're managing something from there, you are really close. You are, 3 hours away from most of those countries in Latin America. So that those operations are very easy. And I know a lot of companies that are doing business in Latin America online with their offices in here, just taking care about how the logistics to go there, having customer services, bilingual personnel willing to support their clients in the South, et cetera, not necessarily struggling with complex structures in those countries.
You know, has language been a strong barrier to keep people away, and or is that something that's really easy to navigate?
Well, it's a barrier. It's something that you have to work about. There are good things that have improved that situation. I told you that Latin America in that international open policy that have had generated that the learning of English has been more constant in the education system of multiple countries. So that's a real improvement. And it's curious, but I have personally witnessed so many American people interested in learning about the culture, and not only for business, just because it's enjoyable to learn something new, it's enjoyable to get to learn about the culture, so multiple people interested. And due to the fact that I mentioned that we have the same alphabet, the multiple, the way that we pronounce those letters are in many ways similar, that facilitates the process. It's not an impossible thing to be done. We have so many things in common, and as simple as I believe that almost every person in Latin America has to say, hola, gracias, something like that, the same way you're going to learn multiple ways to communicate and make the journey easier for anyone.
What about, and this is something that we don't speak much about, but what about human capital? And meaning that, you know, let's say for an example, you would like to target that audience. I can tell you from, you know, let's call it black-owned businesses, oftentimes that, you know, people of color will navigate to other business owners that have color. Is that a legitimate reality? Is that more of a subjective, you know, person-by-person perspective? What have you noticed when it comes to, you know, Latin individuals or Hispanic individuals doing business with other Hispanics, or is it more about the product and service? Is there any type of validity or concerns around it, just that part of understanding your consumer base along with the company that is providing service?
Well, as I said, it's a huge community here, not only in terms of the region of Latin America as a region, with different perspectives, with some particularities that vary from country to country. Here in the States, there are some particularities, but in general, I may define the Latin American community as, or Latin American market more than community. And now let's talk about potential consumers as very open in general sense of perspective. And when I say very open, it's in terms of relationship, in terms of products. There is people willing to try or doing business with anyone. They don't have much prejudgment regarding race, regarding origin. So that's a nice point that perhaps is, even for my personal experience, shocking when you come to the U.S. and you identify a lot of discussion, a lot of policies involved, a lot of history involved in that situation. That, yeah, in some way we had as well, but not at the level of the U.S. So that gives us a more open perspective, a more liberated way to interact with anyone and experience products, services, doesn't matter the origin. So yeah, that's something interesting. And now that you were mentioning the human capital, that's another important thing that I have highlighted previously here, is that the quality of the education in Latin America has improved a lot in those ways. There are a lot of important universities that are offering a quality of education up to the level of any developed country. And even though that the same proximity that I mentioned for doing business has been efficient for many people coming here to get educated in the U.S. So, yeah, multiple things that make that exchange easier.
You know, when we think about international business, a lot of times business owners believe that they have to be a massive corporation in order to do that. A lot of times it has something to do with taxation. Sometimes it has to do with just the ability to man the operation, just essentially have enough people to be there to manage what's going on and the scale of that. Do you find that small businesses, so companies that have 20 employees or less, can they participate in international business affairs based on your experiences?
Yes, absolutely. And that's a very good approach. Fortunately, we are quite back to normal in multiple ways, and the international trade shows are one of the key relevant alternatives that people have to get together and exchange perspectives, get to know products, services, etc. That's an important thing. And the other topic that you mentioned, the taxation differences, has been taken into account when doing those free trade agreements. So that's another benefit of doing business international and going to these other regions in Latin America, that you have the possibility to avoid double taxation, which means being taxed in the country and being taxed when you repatriate those capitals back to your country. So that's something that was taken into account, so you don't have to pay double. So those agreements consider that if you pay taxes in one country for a particular operation, you don't have to do it back in your country or vice versa. So multiple positive things that not only facilitate the process but make more fair the activity and more efficient than investment that you need to do in the region.
Well, you know, in the interest of our time, can you just wrap up, one or two really good best practices for just how we should be thinking about our international business affairs, our own participations, and things that we should pay attention to?
Absolutely. So I believe that the first topic, the most relevant one, is the awareness of the most practical market that you have, internationally speaking, for doing business is Latin America. It's in your backyard, the way I call it. It's not complicated. Has been so many things positive happening in the region that facilitate the process. It's a huge, attractive, enticing market that gives you the opportunity to learn about the huge a portion of the market that is a reality now in the U.S., multiple communities. So that learning of doing business in Latin America is going to help you to do business in the U.S. with the growing community, with the community that has more power of purchase. So multiple reasons to do business in there. And the second one, don't jump to the pool without help. Call the business hospital, call an advisor, ask for help. That you're going to find good advice that facilitate the process and perhaps going to make you avoid any difficulties that might be expensive if you don't have that support.
That's really good advice all the way around. One thing that I tell our listeners and we tell our patients is that you have to build your team no matter what direction you go in. So leaning on experts and leaning on others that have experience is a benefit to you. Reynon, thanks so much for joining the show today. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you and talk about how to expand our horizons past our own borders and how to be a better steward over just all the people, all the communities within our borders. Everyone, thanks a lot for tuning in today, and then we'll see you tomorrow for Trending Thursday. Thanks so much, and I wish your business the best health.
Thank you, Dr. Baker. What a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us for Doctor's Orders. You can contact Dr. Baker by phone at 1-855-249-4677, by email at info@drbaker.us. You can learn more on our website at www.drbaker.us. Be sure to tune in every Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. right here on 1320 AM, 103.9 FM, and on www.1320thevoice.com.